You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages.
Hey guys, special episode today. First off, I have a special co-host, Mr. Chad Hopkins of Hopkins Brewing. Chad, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, David.
Thanks for helping me out today, man.
Yeah, man. Always love being here.
Yeah, I love when you're on. You always make me laugh, and we have good times.
Always good times.
And thanks for letting me use your facility to record the podcast.
Sure, man.
I love your brew house, and you're pumping out some amazing beers right now, dude.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks. When's your Pilsner come out, by the way?
It's just logging right now, so.
So I have to wait?
You gotta wait. Let it do the thing. So,
it's gonna be
more
great,
weeks.
Dude. I'm excited for it. You
Me
have
too.
One of my favorite Pilsners, for reals. I'm not just saying that because you're right there, but for reals.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
You, man. Appreciate well, Chad, I have a special guest for you. As a brewer, I know you respect other brewers. So I have the two gentlemen brewers of Utah, Mr. Carson and Brett. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for letting us be here.
Oh, thanks for coming. Thanks for driving all your way down here into Salt Lake and want to talk beer with me. Some guy with long hair. I'm okay with this.
Looking forward to it.
Appreciate it, guy. Let's go off the beginning. Carson, who is Carson? Who are you, man?
I'm Carson. Last name is Foss. Grew up in Utah. Left for about 14 years for work and school and traveling the country as an airline pilot. I tried to hit a brewery in every single state.
Nice.
When I got back to Utah in 2014, lived in Ogden, and we had one brewery, and shortly after another one opened up, and I'm sitting at home saying, we need more. And so me and my uncle got together, found an awesome spot. I've been homebrewing for about 10 years, and we made this spot, found it, got the construction going, got the brew house in, and we opened March 28th of 19, so and next week will be our two-year anniversary. Little
congrats.
Rough start with obviously having a national pandemic in
good
the
times.
Middle of our first 2 years, but we've kept the lights on and had good reviews, and the house is as full as it can be these days. And I love brewing beer, flying airplanes, got two kids, wife, love the outdoors, skiing, brewing, and hanging out. So
holy, can we be friends?
Yeah. Yes,
that sounds
that's
awesome.
What we're down
sounds
here.
All right.
So.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you fly planes? You still do that?
I haven't flown for about just over a year. Time at the business is just taking it away, but still current and keep all my ratings up, and totally want to do it for fun. I don't know if I'll do it professionally again, but I really enjoy it. So
I mean, what are the coolest places you've traveled to?
The coolest places, I loved going to the Bahamas. I did that a ton, and then we used to do a lot of Montreal and Toronto in the summertime, so I would always bid those. We had like 35-hour overnights, and they've got some really good breweries up there, and they're all on lakes, and so that was a lot of fun. I really liked Canada, and the plane I flew only had like a 4-hour range, so I never really left the U.S. except for Canada and the Bahamas, something close. So
not just except for the cool places, right?
Yes, yes.
I like the warm places,
yes,
the tropical places.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yep. And my goal on every long overnight was to hit a brewery somewhere, and then made mental notes, and when I opened Utah, I tried to incorporate all the things I really liked from around the country into that. So,
gotcha.
That was it.
Why beer? Why not distilling?
Just the experience I had homebrewing. I really didn't know much about distilling, and after homebrewing forever and just doing local little beer competitions, and my friend started Park City Brewery, so they let me go up and I shadowed with them for like 9 months and just picked their brains, asked questions, and I'm like, this is something I can probably do, and just made it happen. So
nice. Yeah. That's awesome. And then what was, I'm just gonna go out the bat, what's your first beer you brewed commercially, I guess, for Utah?
Our Golden Grant. So it's our golden ale. It's one of our biggest sellers. Super easy drinking, malt forward, a little sweet, and it that's one of our staple beers, and that we're one of our biggest sellers. So
I like that. Yep. Dude, Cars, you're badass. This is super cool.
You.
I like that. All right, Brett, your turn, brother. Who is Brett?
Well, my name is Brett Walker, and I've lived in Utah my whole life. Grown up in Ogden. My dad's from Ogden, so I've been an Ogden boy through and through. I've started my life doing restaurant stuff, so I've been in the restaurant business for 20-plus years. Food and beverage was not very much fun, and tried to get away from it by going to the work for the DABC.
Oh.
So I was still in the liquor side and the beer side. But it was fun because then you'd be able to talk to people about beer and liquor. And then working for the state also sucks. So had to find something else to do. And my wife's like, find something you enjoy doing so that when you come home, you don't bug the shit out of me. So I was like, okay. Found out that I could get a job at Epic, being in their packaging line, not making very much money, but I, once again, was around beer, got to talk about beer, got to drink beer. So worked there for a while and decided I didn't want to keep driving from Ogden all the way to Salt Lake to do something that I could probably do in Ogden. Found out that UTOG opened, I think it was 3 months or 4 months before I got a hold of Carson. Carson asked me to come in and do a work interview and see what if I had any skills. And he hired me right on the spot. So
you have skills.
I had skills, I guess.
And work ethic and everything we needed.
Yeah. Did you guys know each other beforehand?
We did not.
Nope. Oh, no, I met him the day he walked in. I think he just sent an email application and then called him and he walked in. So it worked pretty
history.
Good. It worked
right.
Awesome.
And then you started working in the brew house immediately?
No. So I was just his assistant. So I would mill in. I would mash out. I would clean kegs, clean floors, clean,
the best.
Clean,
the
clean.
Best.
And then we started packaging and he wanted me to run the packaging line. So I ran the lead on the packaging line with a group of 3 to 4 other individuals. And then after we started getting busier and busier, Carson asked me to start brewing a few of the beers.
Yep.
So
my man.
Yeah, I was able to luckily get a job that is fun and Carson's awesome to work with and work for. So
thank you. Get that guy a raise. Tell you what, Carson. I'll tell you what.
So how long have you been at UTOG?
So I started May of 2019. No. Yeah.
So right after you guys opened.
Yeah, we're like much. 3 months in. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how long did it, like, we've been open about the same amount of time, mm-hmm. and, you know, I was the brewer here, like, so I kind of, like, fill your situation a little bit, brew pub, like, how long did it take you to let somebody into your brew house and touch your brewing equipment?
It took to actually run the show without me there. I think it was, you probably watched 40 brews at least, maybe 35, right around there, and then the first ones, it was his... It was awesome. I made him brew a sour for his very first time, and he hates sours.
Carson, so, you're the worst.
Yeah. So that's like a very detailed one that we do. And so I knew if he could handle the sour and all the little processes for that, then the rest should be a lot easier.
Uh-huh.
But I think it was probably 35 to 40 brews before he started doing them on his own. And it really helped me out because we're just like you. We're a restaurant and a brewery. And with COVID hitting about the time Brett was starting to brew, I needed to go and put my attention at the front of house because that is where COVID really, really hit hard.
Right.
So it was a blessing for me to have him be able to kind of do most of the hands-on in the brewery and let me do a lot of managing and help the front of the house survive, you know, the last 9 months or year.
Right.
So, yeah. So.
Yeah, that was quite a pivot,
we
say.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, we totally changed the game plan, you know. But it just kept rolling and do things to keep the lights on and keep good beer and, you know, get people in the restaurant as safely and as full as possible. So, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys have both the same intentions, just trying to have a good experience, good time, and trying to survive.
Yes.
No, yeah. Yeah. That's kind of, so I'm assuming you had a furlough quite a few people and.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like how many people do you think you got down to? Like
we had just in the mid 50s before COVID hit and then March 18th of last year, that's when they said you have to close if you're a restaurant. And so everybody, you know, obviously went on unemployment. And I think the end of May, we opened for takeout only. But we're not really designed for takeout. We want people to come in, have a beer, hang out, you know, spend 2 hours. And I think you have the very same philosophy. And takeout obviously wasn't going to work, but it got people back in the kitchen and got people working. And then the summertime really was a blessing when we could open our patio because we could spread out.
That's right.
And that really helped a lot. And then... it's been really good since then. November was a little tough when the numbers spiked. And literally, pretty much everybody that was working for me is back. And we're hiring a lot now because our patios open up in May, we're shooting for. And so we're hiring 4 to 5 a week right now for that. So.
Oh, good. Nice. I'm excited to see that patio. I haven't seen that yet.
Is the patio the one facing the baseball stadium?
Yes.
Okay, so for those who don't know, UTOG has a patio in the back facing, sharing the field of the baseball stadium. Can you get a cooler patio?
I mean, cool.
For real? It is. That is why I love one of the top reasons I love our location is we're pretty much downtown Ogden. We've got 700 parking spots across the street, so that's a lot of complaints. Is where do I park when you go downtown on 25th Street or something? Is there's no parking? We've got all the parking. We're kid, bike, dog friendly, and the largest patio that overlooks the Raptors baseball field.
That's awesome.
And we've been talking with the Raptors this week, and we've got a good plan to keep part of our fence open so you can view the games on our patio. And so that's what we're shooting for this summer.
That's
so.
Damn.
Yeah. I got to see this.
Cool. It's really cool. Really good. Brad showed me that, and Brad, I think I was geeking out for like 20 solid minutes.
Okay. It's a gorgeous view from our side, being able to see the other side of the baseball field, looking into the batter, not the batter's backside. So.
Head, right? But who doesn't want to drink beer and watch baseball?
Right. Yeah.
You have hot dogs, brats?
Yeah, we have a brat. We don't have a hot dog on the menu, but we might if it's demand. But we got a really good beer brat and the best ribs in. I can't think of another place. The ribs in our place are fall off the bone. My 2-year-old will eat four of them.
My goodness.
Yeah, the ribs are phenomenal. Burgers. Our kitchen does an phenomenal job. Our head chef, Chris Bram, just very professional, great food. And this community's spoken with all the ratings on Yelp and Facebook. And I have to give him a ton of credit. A lot of people come for food, along with the beer. So
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a good thing.
Yeah, Chad, you shoot for food too. You have a great menu as well. Uh-huh. It's like quality, not just quantity.
Yeah, and that's my background is restaurants. So, it's good to have that balance, like having good food and good beer and a good vibe to come hang out at.
You guys have good beer as well. Both of you. Chad, you have good beer. Carson, Brett, you guys have good beer. You have beer in front of us.
That we're not drinking.
We need to open one up. This is a beer podcast, for heaven's sakes.
Okay,
you guys have four. I don't know. You have like 17 beers here.
More,
but which beer do we need to break open right now?
I think we should actually start with our Snowcat that I didn't put out.
Yeah, let's do the Snowcat.
Snowcat. Tell us about the Snowcat.
Well, the Snowcat is it's a session IPA. It's a 5%, great golden color. Do you guys want to pour your own beers?
Or absolutely.
Pour it?
Sure. I'm going to use a big one.
It's one of our higher selling beers up at Snow Basin, and I think a few other ski resorts have it. It's a simple drinking IPA, in my opinion.
It's clear. Yeah. I can't do clear IPA spread.
You can pour some in my cup.
I mean, there's a slight chill haze.
I think
too.
You got a little set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love drinkable beers. When you go through our lineup, you'll probably notice that they've all finished, I wouldn't say dry, but there's not a lot of sweetness. You're not going to be full for many of our beers. My goal was to make a very drinkable beer.
Oh, just crushable, huh?
So we dry hop this with about 25 pounds of split between Simcoe and, is it Mosaic?
Mm-mm.
Let's see. My mind's going blank. Help me out here.
I think it's Warrior.
We don't dry hop with Warrior. I'll think of it in a second. We're doing it this week.
It's definitely got like a classic kind of West Coast thing going on. I'm getting like a nice kind of piney, resiny.
Yeah, I think it's low on the bitterness, I think right in the mid-50s.
That's crushable.
Like this and my pale ale are my favorite beers to just take camping and just, take them home and share with friends. This is right up my alley. Not real bitter. You get the aroma, and it's super drinkable. So it's Snowcat for all the Snowcat drivers out there at all the ski resorts. And
shout out to them.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's really done well at the resorts and in-house. It's one of our best.
That's great. Great sessionable. Love it. Wow. Good choice, Brett. Tell you what.
Yeah, it's got a nice little malt backbone to it. Doesn't take away from the hops, but it's there. Like, that's great.
It's a fun one to brew, too.
That's a great beer.
Super simple recipe and just focus on the hops and making it drinkable. That's our goal for pretty much all of our tap beers.
The BUs don't sit there. It washes out. I like it.
Right.
It's easy. Yeah. Simple. I mean, in a good way, right?
Right. Yes.
I mean,
you can drink more than one.
Yes, so that's the goal. That I'm glad you did that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like drinking more than one. I don't know about you boys.
Right. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Well done, boys.
Yeah, that's one thing, one bonus about, both of us opening when we did.
What date was your opening date?
We opened mid-December 2018. So just a few months before you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But we, trying to brew a 10 Plato 4% beer first year, so hard.
Yes.
Trying to figure out our efficiencies on our system and everything and how our yeast was going to do. And then when we got to do 5% beer, that just was...
Game changer.
Oh, man.
We felt the same way. We opened, and it's like, how do you get this with a lot of flavor at 4%? And you try your best, but your hands are kind of tied, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as we were only 7 months in, and now we've got probably 8 to 10 beers, and now we've got to go tweak them all again and bring them up. And so it was a lot of learning those first year, not only opening and running a business, but also adding 20% more to all your beers.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So it was good, and I'm really happy it went that direction because it made all of the beers on tap just so much better in competition for the rest of the country, you know?
Uh-huh.
So
I like that.
Yeah.
Brew an actual pale ale.
Yes, yes.
So Carson, why Utah? I mean, you first look at it, it's like, what's this? Utah.
Yes.
Like, why Utah? What's Utah?
So I got Utah. Basically, I was trying to find a name for my brewery, and I wanted to go with Traverse Brewing Company, because if you live on the Wasatch Front, whether you're skiing, hiking, biking, driving, you're traversing the Wasatch Front. That's what you're doing. But when I learned about copywriting and all that stuff, Traverse City, Michigan has about 10 Traverse Brewing Companies. It's spelled the exact same thing. So if I ever wanted to go, like, hopefully, eventually, maybe make it out of the state, do bigger, me trying to name my place Traverse Brewing Company was pretty much taken. So I was working with the graphic artist, and he was taking where we lived and a bunch of ideas, and he put Utah on the bottom of one of his designs when he was working on logos. And then at the same time, I'm taking this class, and they're like, well, if you make up a word, no one can steal it. And then I'm like, well, Utah's really simple. People are going to ask, like, what is it? So that's why we put Utah Ogden in the logo. So most people get it pretty quickly, and it's pronounced Utah. And then about a year into it, somebody's like, well, if you do it backwards, that's your go-to brewery. So I think just the simplicity of the name and the logo, people look at it sometimes and like, oh, that's pretty cool. And only half of them don't notice that it's the state of Utah turned sideways.
Did you notice that, Chad?
No.
Yeah. So half don't, but, my neighbor, she was over there one day, and I wanted the state of Utah on my logos, but there's probably 4 or 5 breweries in the state that have Utah. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to figure out, how do we add that without being the same? And she's like, why don't you just twist it and make it mountains? I was like, well, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
She gets, at least he gets all the kudos for that. So
shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's great logo.
So that's how we got the name, is basically no one can steal it. It's a made up name. And then that's the state in the background. So
I like that. Chad tried doing that with Salt Lake, Utah, and it came out slut. So we had to change it.
Yeah.
Tompkins Brewing.
Yeah. I think my dad has that sticker on his car, Salt Lake, Utah. They sold it somewhere. So
can't name it like that. Yeah. I like it. So Utah came in. Brewing, how many beers do you have right now?
We've got 11 5% beers, and then we've got 4 High Point beers. With COVID, you've probably seen, we don't have the in-house volume we used to. So we had up to 5 High Point beers. We're going down to 3 just until we start getting that rush of people in-house, because we found that having 5 flavors of High Points, we couldn't get them 100% sold in 90 days, because we have a 15-barrel system. So when we do a canning run of High Points, that's around 140 cases. And to push 140 cases in-house within 90 days, it's not going to happen. We need the people in there, and we have to wait for this pandemic to be over to happen. So we're tailoring
it back. Why 90 days? Are you pushing for freshness?
Freshness.
So you're telling me you're a brewery that pushed for freshness.
We push for freshness big time.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. We do store everything cold. So if you do come in, like, the only thing I really worry about is the dry hop beers and the hoppy beers losing that. But we do store them cold. So, I mean, I've drinking beers that have been in my fridge that are 10 months, and they still taste great. But to the consumer, they love that date. And it's been really tough, and I think the public understands that breweries the last year have really had their hands tied. And so they've been gracious of understanding, okay, this beer might be, you know, 6 or 7 months old, but it's a pandemic. You know what I mean? And people have been very forgiving in having beer that, you know, might not be quite as what they're used to. But hopefully when we're coming out of this, we'll get back on track and be able to plan our brews to keep that.
So why have your beers at the DABC when they don't take care of your beers the way you take care of them? They didn't do your beer justice, I feel like.
Correct. It's tough. I really wish they would store their stuff cold. The public wishes that too. But if you're brewing High Points in Utah, you really need their help to get that product out if you have a large system. If you're doing 3-barrel or smaller, you can sell all that in-house, keep fresh. But when we brew, I mean, if the smallest we can do and end up in the bright is probably 9 barrels, because other than that, our equipment, we cannot carb it, we can't keep it cold, we can't can it. And so for us to do a High Point batch, the smallest we could yield is probably 80 cases, and I just have to have that. I need to be able to move it. And the DABC putting on their shelves really helps, you know, because I can sell a bunch in-house, they take it, and then I'm brewing it again in 4 weeks. And
beautiful.
So
good turnaround.
Yeah.
Nice.
I just want your guys' beer to, you know, I wish the DABC would take care of your beer better. Everyone's beer.
Everybody's beer.
Yeah, it's just it's frustrating because you have a product, and I see the passion you guys have in this.
Yep.
And then it sits there on these shelves in the warm, dank DABC, and the sunlight's hitting it, and you get it. Yep. It's like, what's this Yatig? I hate this beer, and I don't like that. You know, with other beers, you know, you get ones from across the country that you know, like,
oh yeah,
you want to taste them. You're like, oh, I'm excited for this beer, and all of a sudden, like, this tastes like ass.
I was so excited to see Dogfish hit. Dogfish, like maybe 2 years ago.
Yep.
They showed up. And I've been to the brewery. I've had 60-minute and 90-minute on tap. And then it's like, oh, it's in our liquor store? Like,
yeah, you get it here.
And then you drink it. You're like, that is not the same beer.
It is not the same. Yeah, that's why, like, if I'm going on vacation, it's within 12 hours, I will drive just to load up beer on ice and drive it home.
Oh,
because then you'll get it at home.
I like that. That's
you know?
Beautiful.
So
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay, Brett, question for you. Why beer?
Why not beer?
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Yeah. I drink liquor. But I drink it like beer, so I get a little in trouble real quickly with liquor. So that's why beer is
better.
My go-to. I just love easier the taste of beer and just the whole fermentation of it. It's just, to me, it's so much fun to do from start to finish to watch it do its thing.
Geeking out about it a little bit?
Yeah.
I like that. You have another beer in front of us. Which another one that you're proud of that you help brew?
Well, I think we need to talk about the newest beer that we're
rolling out. Story time. Tell them.
So... Everybody has that friend that doesn't want to drink craft beer. They just want to drink that Coors Light.
Bud Light.
Michelob, PBR, yeah.
The fizzy stuff.
Yes.
And so you still have those people that you want to hang out with. So we bring them to the brewery and they ask for a Bud Light and we tell them we don't have anything like that.
Say sorry.
Until now. We came out with a beer called Beer.
Yeah.
So, it's literally called beer.
It's literally just a beer. Yep. So,
I love that.
Easy drinker. So, let's crack it open.
That's fantastic. And it's got a white label. It's the plainest label ever. And it's the greatest label ever, I think.
Nice.
I love it.
This is your lawn mowing, shower beer, go boating, go golfing.
For those that, beer.
And our goal is to get this into shelves next to the domestics because if you're buying a beer just to drink beer, why not support local? You know what I mean? Instead of the big national brand. So, that's our goal with this beer. And, so far, it's been out a week, and we've done really good in-house, and a lot of cases have gone out to the public out of our beer store, and we've had really good reviews. So, as you can see, it is an ale. It's not a lager, so it's not quite as brilliant as you get from a lager. But we try to have... When I was brewing this beer and I read Simple American Ale, the definition was have nothing shine through. I don't want malt. I don't want sweetness. I don't want bitterness. You just want beer. And that's... If I give it to somebody, and I'm like... I don't think anything... overpowers the other. So
That's great.
I like that subtle sweetness at the end. Malty sweetness at the end. I like that.
And it's 5% even, so we can, you know, get it at grocery stores and that's our goal. A 16-ounce can, so it's our only 5% beer in a 16-ounce can. And we're getting the price down so that it will be kind of competitive to like a Coors Light price. Obviously, it's really tough for a small brewery to compete with those prices, but we're getting it down to the more affordable range because we realize they just want to drink the beer.
Dude, this is a poolside beer. I've decided.
This is great. Has a nice crispness, like a lager.
Yeah.
You get the there's like that a little tiny malt sweetness, a little tiny bitterness, and carbonation is.
We tried to carb it high. I mean, a little higher than others, just because we want that flavor to pop. Because there's not the IBUs on this. I think it's 11 or 12. It's very, very low.
Super low. Yeah.
So we want to carb it just some more because it makes it crisp and drinkable.
I want more of this.
That's great.
I love that. The lawn mowing beer. I'm just picturing a commercial with you guys just like having a lawn mowing out or like a shower and be like, beer.
This is a beer. We're going to get one of those helmets that hold the beer on the side.
Yeah,
so.
This is a
ski lift beer.
Yes.
Man,
good. This has been out 1 week and I'm really excited about it. And my mom and her friends, they're in their 70s. So they grew up with like light beer and Coors Light and it's funny, we're selling so much to the older generation because they're the ones that are, it's tougher to get into craft, you know what I mean? Just because they grew up with 40 years of not drinking craft. And so it's really done well with that audience that just wanted something simple. So.
I like this. Well done, gentlemen.
Thank you. I think there's probably more, you guys.
We
have a lot. You guys finish it off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about some of these beers here. I'd like to try them all.
Yes, all of them.
Yeah, I put one out there that I will not be drinking, but it is my first.
Sour.
It's the sour that Carson had me brew for the very first time.
Why wouldn't you drink it?
I am not a sour beer fan. Yeah? I just,
why is that?
I'm not very sweet, so I like the bitter drinks.
Okay, got you.
So
I'm scared of bugs. So I don't. I hate making. I can't. They scare me.
Yeah.
Anywhere from lacto to Brett, I can't. I can't. No. I'm sitting there like the ISO just spraying everything. I spray my shoes.
Right.
I can't. So that's why I don't like sours, because they scare me to make. But if someone else made it, hey, I'll drink it.
Yeah, they are scary to make. Yeah. Our first time, I remember we got all this new equipment, and I'm like, I'm going to what in that tank? You know what I mean? And that was probably the most nervous. And then after you've done it once or twice, and you know, I have a lot of other breweries I can call and ask questions. How'd you do this? How'd you keep stuff clean? And just the support. And you know, because I've only brewed on a 10-gallon system at home and went straight to 15. And so there was a huge learning curve, yeah. And I didn't want to just guess. So being able to call and ask a lot of people really helped. So
that's awesome. And that's the cool thing. We were talking about this a little bit earlier is we have this beer community. And you guys being from Utah, I mean, all three of you from here, Utah, it's just like we're a brotherhood. I mean, it's like it's this weird community we have. Not weird, but it's just it's fascinating because it's just like we can bro out anytime. Yep. Let's go get Taiwan off and we can just talk beer. We can nerd out and we can sit here and instead of being like, hey, try my beer. It's like, I made the biggest, baddest-ass beer ever. Try it. It's the greatest thing. Like, no, I want you to try it out. Because I remember I was really proud of the peppercorn Saison.
Right.
I'm like, hey, whether you like Saison or not, like, yes. I'm proud. I'm happy. This is cool. Let's see what I just want your opinion, you know? And it was really cool and Chad does it all the time. You guys got to try this. I mean, I do it, Chad. We come up to Chad. Chad, try this. Like, all right. And it's not like a... Yeah, this tastes like ass.
Right.
No, it's like,
I think my Kolsch is better.
Yeah. No one. I've never once heard us say that. You know, it's kind of like let's help each other out. I'm like, yep. I'm getting this kind of taste to it, and it's kind of a let's grow, let's make a better beer, a better version of it. And just because you guys are in Ogden, Utah,
right.
And I'm in the valley, and Chad's halfway, doesn't mean that we can't still be that community. Because I mean, Brett, we've talked about making sours before, and it's like, this is where I keep it here, and like it is what it is. But that community is really cool, and. And Carson, the fact that you started a place in Ogden, in your like hometown, and Chad, you have a place in your hometown and in Sugar House, like guys, kudos! You guys are doing great things, and don't stop. Don't stop.
That's the way to do it, man.
But I say we break open the sour beer now. We gotta try the sour beer. Okay.
So this is called Pucker Time.
Pucker Time, because you're puckering every time you drink it.
So that's it. So you really want to skip this, Brett?
Oh, I'll still drink it.
Okay. Yeah, that's my man.
Just because I don't like it doesn't mean I'm not going to drink it.
So this is a sour. It's right at 5%. We did a kettle sour on this. It's mostly Pilsner malt and very low IBUs. I think 5. We do a little bit of orange peel in the boil, and then it is an ale, and we think it's a great intro to sour. It's not in your face like, wow. And then there is no fruit additions, but you can pick up a little bit of the orange. I can. Some people don't.
Oh, that's great. What's the pH on that?
We shoot for 3.2.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple times it got down to like a 3.15, and then we've one time had it stall out like a 3.3. But we've done... probably 6 of these since we've opened, and we shoot for 3.2
nice.
On that. So
that's about this. Yeah. We do one kind of similar to this.
Okay,
we do a little orange peel coriander. Okay, about 3.2, but it's nice. Like it's drinkable. It's not too
over the top.
It's not. It doesn't punch you in the face with sourness. And it's funny when females come into our place. I think the Pucker Time is drank more by the females than the dudes for sure. They love it. We'll have girls come in, and I help them carry 2 cases to their car, and it's really cool to see that we have a very diverse group of people that like love all the different types of beers, and the Pucker Time has been really popular. And we're trying to get it out. I know Harmon's is carrying it, and I think that's and Associated Foods might be, but
nice.
There's not a lot of 5% sours out there, and we're really working hard to get it there. The one you're holding there is the older label, and we've got a new label that's coming out. Obviously, you can't show that over the air, but it'll be on our website, and the new label is like really retro, like 70s rainbow colors.
Super cool.
It will pop. It's going to be awesome. So we're going to get up there real soon and check it out.
So speaking of the labels, why the label change? There it is, Bucket Time.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Is a new one on there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Label change was basically for beer sales. Chad can probably attest to this. When you open a brewery, you are
setting up the kitchen, you're doing payroll, you're doing taxes, you're doing construction, you're brewing the beer, and at the same time, I've got to design labels. So I am not a designer, and obviously what I think is cool is not probably what mainstream is. So after a year and a half in, had some time to sit down during COVID when it was slow, and we're like, you know, the label's good, our original one, but it's busy. And so we want stuff to pop on the shelf and to and have the, you know, better colors that are more popular. That's why the quick rebrand after a year. So the labels now will all just stand out more. That's our goal.
So, sexier. I like that.
Yeah, same liquid. But it just live and learn. You know, I'm new to the game, and obviously I'm not a label designer, and I take people's opinions, and we have, I have no problem changing for the better.
Yeah, so. You make the beer. Why do you have to make the label,
yes,
too?
Yes,
I get you.
So,
yeah. I like you guys.
Carson was also able to hire one of the guys that already works for us to design the label.
So he
he's been working for us since, Chase, since he, since the beginning he's been there. And he's a graphic design guy from Weber State, and so he does, he just started out, and so he can spread his wings with our labels and other things, and so it's awesome to have in-house because he can literally sit down with us, and while we're brewing, we can design the labels.
Talk about it. That's really cool. I mean, I love your Kolsch. You have the Kolsch German style.
Yes.
Looks like German flag.
That is. Well, we're trying, you know, the new Jazz uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
My goal is to get that in the arena next year because it looks just like the uniforms. We didn't know that until we saw the playoffs. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, that Kolsch has been, we only do that in a can because it goes to Harman's and Associated as well. And the Kolsch has been very popular. We just had yours, and I think it's very similar. I get a little more sweetness from the one here, but both very drinkable. So I love it.
I love it. This sour, I get melon, and I really like that. Like I want to say, I don't know, cantaloupe, but the melon. And the melon's what sells me. I'm like, I'm a sucker for melon. So, Brett, well done, brother, for your first time.
He's getting good at these sours now. So
it cracks me up. But, Brett, another question for you, I have for you. What is your favorite beer at UTOG?
Favorite beer at UTOG?
Favorite beer at UTOG.
That's actually one that's on the table.
Yeah.
So the Red Eye, the Imperial Red, is one of my favorites. It's a little high in ABV, so you can't really crush a ton of them with remembering crushing a ton of them. But they are, it's one of my favorites. It's more on the caramel side, flavor and color, but it's...
I like
this. This is your favorite one?
Yeah.
I have to say one of my favorite beer styles is Imperial Red Ale. In fact, we've got a little 10-gallon system here. I did a 5-gallon no sparge on accident, but I intention was an Imperial Red Ale. So one of my favorite styles because you get the malts and you get the hops. Okay. I want to drink this one.
Let's open her up,
Brett. You do that. You do the honors on that one. It's your favorite.
He drinks
this one more than me. I've got a 6 and a 3-year-old. I've got a get to bed and wake up on time, and so I don't get a lot of 8%ers in my
Carson,
house.
Carson, what's your favorite UTOG one? I mean, it's kind of hard to say.
No, it's a great question. UTOG Pale Ale. I when I traveled everywhere and when I go into a brewery, I usually always order a Pale Ale, and if they have food, they're burger. And to me, that's kind of like how I do my judging. If you can nail your Pale Ale and you got a pretty good burger, then the rest of the lineup's usually pretty good.
Nice.
And so I really focus a lot on my Pale Ale, and I love it. It's my goal is to get it on draft everywhere because right now when you go to bars, there's pretty just like 2 or 3, and they own the whole state in pale ales.
Right.
And I'm really pushing to try to get some of those taps because if we go into bars sometimes when we're doing sales, and you know if it's closed, we can say let's do a blind taste test, and we've never not been picked for a pale ale.
That's the goal.
Is to just give more options because like we talked about earlier. Growing up in Utah with the 4% thing, you've walked into bars and there's 5 tap handles of the same brewery. Where we in other states, it's when you go in, you should have 1 tap handle from each brewery and get a good selection and
absolutely
and kind of get a lot more options. And that's the goal with what we're doing is just try to.
I do that same philosophy with pilsners because I feel like you can't fuck up a pilsner. You can't you can get any impurity out of any off flavor in a pilsner.
Yep.
So it's like I go when I go to a restaurant, a bar, I get their pilsner. I'm like, I'm going to judge you on this one.
Right.
That's really what I do.
Yep.
I mean, they can make a mean stout, but if their pilsner is good, I don't know, the rest should be great.
Right.
Yeah. I like that philosophy.
So, but my pale ales are my number one that I love, that I drink.
I like that. No bad answer. Well, Chad, what do you think?
I haven't tried it. I've been sitting there smelling it.
And this one also has a new label coming out. So it's called the Red Eye. We named it.
It might be on the website.
We named it because, of course, Carson Blue Plains.
Yeah.
So the Red Eye Flight. So with the new label, we're going to geek out a little bit on this as well. On the side of it, there's an airplane, and we're going to try and change it up every time. So if you're a aviation geek, you're going to really love seeing each one of these beers come out with a different
little aviation saying on the side, something like
that. That's really cool. Yeah, it's not on the website yet, but
Chase is working on them right now. We just got a new website last week. Good.
Dude, guys, this is awesome.
I left the caramel notes with like the resiny hop notes. Like the way those two go together is just like
This is a fun beer to brew. I think we have 5 different malts in this one. And we toyed around with this one for probably 3 months, and I've got a 10-gallon system at home. Well, I think we played with this for about 3 months until we decided to go with the one we wanted, and it's been really fun. So
nice.
I like that.
So you still homebrew?
Yeah. Yeah, once a quarter, whenever we think of something, like we want to do a high point sour, and so that's what we're doing the next 2 months is I just do multiple ones at my house and just carve them there, and then we'll have a bunch of people come over and taste them and go from there. And once we find one that we really like, then we will go and do a half batch in the big brew house. And if it takes off, then we'll do bigger. So
when are these tastings? Because Chad and I's numbers are 801. Okay.
Yeah, I will let you know. The more, obviously, COVID's kind of handcuffed the fun tastings.
I'll
but,
stay outside. Yeah, I'll be in my car. I don't
we'll
care.
Do, we'll do the 6-foot thing. So,
do you guys put a little pelt chocolate in this?
There is, yes, there is a tiny bit of chocolate in the Red Eye. I think
that's really good.
I think it's around 4%.
Yeah,
it's low.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think there's a little 120 caramel crystal. Yeah, 120. And 120's
in this.
This is delicious.
Just a little bit. And I'm trying to think what's the other one?
Right, though?
Yeah.
You want to keep drinking more and more.
Oh, yeah.
And this one, we were told, should get to the DABC soon. There's a handful of bars downtown that pick it up. They drive up and buy it from the brewery. So the Red Eye is available in a handful of bars downtown.
In Ogden. So.
Yeah, and then Slackwater and Sandy and Slackwater Ogden.
Shout out to Joey. And
yeah,
Slackwater.
Joey.
That motherfucker.
He's a badass.
God.
Yeah.
And he has good palate. He gets good beer from great breweries and puts them on to showcase. I mean, yes, Chad, you have had beer there. You guys have had beer there.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, Joey's awesome. Yeah, Joey. I miss him. He worked for us. He was my barman when we started out. But he lived so far away, it was a tough drive for him. But I met him playing hockey, and Joey's awesome, and I really appreciate him reaching out to you, talking and everybody, and getting so many good local beers.
And he reaches out to us, like, "Hey, I want that beer." Like, yeah. We came out the Cosmic good. Fog, which is our glitter gimmicky sour, super good, great sour. And he's like, "Save me a barrel of that." I'm like, all
right. Yeah, he's next to my. So. That's right next to my house. So that's nice. He's like, "Hey, I need a keg of this." I'm like, "Cool,
that's perfect."
I'm on my way home.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, bro, I could see how you get in trouble with this one.
Yeah.
Because it's a little hot, but...
You can feel the warmth of the alcohol when you swallow. It is.
But it's not overpowering, though.
No.
It's not boozy. It's well-balanced.
No, well-balanced. I like that. I like the...
Yeah.
The bitterness and the... Oh, man, I love it. It's... Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble, Brett. I'm blaming you.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm just going to tell my wife it's Brett's fault. Well, guys, real quick, we're going to take a break real quick. I got a little bathroom break and a restocking break. But until... We come back, all right, guys?
Thank you.
Perfect. Cheers.
Tastemasters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code TASTEMASTERS, you will receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But, guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. This episode of Tastemasters is brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically, what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help. Shitty phone.
Come on.
Shitty phone, shitty rings. So whose coffee do you guys use in the Synergy? Is it Wasatch?
Wasatch. So my friend Darren owns it. He started it. It's like 5 years ago. He went
he's my neighbor and friend. Him and four other neighbors went to Costa Rica for like a trip. And when he was down there, he hit all these coffee roasting shops and like just loved it. And so he came back to Ogden and just did a lot of studying and practicing, and then bought this awesome roaster in his garage and was doing a really good job. And then he found this cool building and leased it right. He's literally one block south of us on Grand Avenue. Cool. And so he's done a great job with Wasatch Roasting. It's probably one of the coolest like little coffee shops you can go to. I mean, just phenomenal coffee, all different varieties. He's got probably 14 different countries. And he tries to fly there and like go to the farm and learn. And anyway, so when we did this this coffee lager, we first brewed the lager called Four Quarter Lager. And I called it Four Quarter because it's exactly 25% two row, 25% rice, 25% corn, and 25% wheat. And so I brewed this lager, and the Four Quarter Lager was great. But I don't think the name was that fancy, so it didn't really like take off. So we brewed this, and we had 28 barrels sitting in a tank because we didn't know what we wanted to do with it. And so I started thinking, what can we add? What can we add? And so I called Darren. I'm like, hey, is there anything I can you make something and I can dump it in my coffee lager to see, and we can call it a coffee lager. So he's like, sure. So he got all these different, probably 10 different countries, all these little samples. We took two growlers over to his coffee shop, spent like 4 hours and narrowed it down. It was a Nicaraguan. Mm-hmm. That's the one we wanted. And we did dosage rates with like little MLs and vials and found out the dosage rate. Then we went back to the brewery and dosed it, and we would dose it, wait a day, dose it, wait a day. We finally, like, she had all of his coffee baristas, and then we probably had five or six guys that drink beer. We're like, okay, this is it. And then our four-quarter lager has basically just morphed into the Synergy. We don't really put it out as a four-quarter lager anymore. It's extremely drinkable, I think. It has a little more sweetness because of that corn thing we talked about. And then we only use Sterling hops in it. So there's not, like, a huge bite, but it's there. But it's just turned into Synergy because everybody compares it immediately to Keto's because that's the coffee around here that's light. It won a gold medal. Uh-huh. The difference in this is it's not mouth filling and it doesn't fill you up. It, like all my other beers, it finishes on the drier side, crisp. And my thing was, I want to make sure people know it's beer. I don't want people to drink coffee and, oh, is there beer in there? No, this is beer and you get a hint of coffee.
Keto's is a coffee cream, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that cream is probably gives it like that latte taste.
Yep. Yep. So.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Well, can we drink it?
Yeah. Corey, would you? We're rolling. Oh, the whole time? Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to say all that
I
again.
I hope so. I hope you guys do, the whole thing.
Do you guys do you put the beans in, or do you do cold brew? Or?
Yeah, he does extract that's very potent liquid form, and we just we dose it that. And then we make sure that it's...
this is fresh.
We keep this is within a couple months. So
just the aroma on that is fantastic. It's like cold brew.
Yeah, the aroma is awesome. And then
people get really confused when they order it or pour it out of the can. They're expecting a dark beer.
I don't like dark beer. Yeah, that guy.
But it's a lager, so it's
they see coffee on the menu and they think it's going to be dark, and they get it, and it's like probably almost as clear as the beer or as Golden Grant.
No, that's fantastic.
So
it's like you just grounded the beans and threw it in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Did you bring more of this?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another can.
So this one has been very popular. There's a handful of coffee shops at the mouth of Big and Little Cottonwood Canyon. And then I think Alta, a lot of those ski resorts have picked this up. And then we've also we got a new label coming. It's not online yet to kind of go with our new theme. But I'm really we wanted to enter this into the competitions, but last year with COVID, all the beer competitions shut down. So we've never really had an opportunity to enter anything for like professional judging.
Right.
And so this year we've got all the dates marked and kind of turn some stuff in.
You're going to be doing competitions.
We want to.
Yes, thanks
hell
to
you.
Yes.
Do not thank me.
No, we want to. It's not like we
have to.
Yeah.
If not, I'm going to come over and I'm going
to
break some stuff.
Yeah, because like we talked about earlier, when we first opened, it was 4% beer, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we knew it was going to 5. And then right when we started brewing 5s, COVID hit. And so we really haven't had an opportunity to like put a beer that we've actually had time to work on.
Because my question was, when are you guys doing a goddamn competition? So I'm glad you are, because you have some damn good beers that need to be appreciated. Mm-hmm. And
cool.
I'm not an advanced palate judge drinker. I don't, but you got award-winning beer, gentlemen.
Oh, cool.
You
thanks.
Guys do.
That's,
I think
yeah,
so.
That's delicious. That's okay. Really good.
So thanks. Yeah, if you don't this year, I'll be very upset.
Good. Well, no, Brett has emailed to me and we have him on the calendar, and
We shipped all of our stuff to San Antonio CBC, that's when everything canceled, and so that was going to be our first entry in like a big competition, and basically they said, sorry, it's closed.
Sorry, we're dumping them down the drain.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, is that what happened to all that beer?
Yeah, they dumped it down.
Distill it or go spray it on some homeless people. I don't know. Like,
turn it into hand sanitizer.
Some use of it, something.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Damn.
But yeah, this Synergy Coffee Lager, we call it the breakfast beer. So when we go camping or on our ski trips and people want to open a beer at 7 a.m., like this, even in Lake Powell when it's hot, it's drinkable.
Perfect.
It's not sweet. It's not filling. And you get, it's a breakfast beer.
That's true.
On our brunch, it goes insane every Sunday.
Just finishes nice and dry and makes you want to go for another one.
Yeah.
Damn.
So I have to ask, how was your transition from homebrew to the big scale? I mean, you guys went pretty big, the 15-barrel system.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
I was nervous as hell. So that's why we started with the golden ales. But it turned out good. I mean, knock on, this isn't wood, but we have not had to dump a batch.
Nice.
And obviously, as any brewery opens, the first 3 to 6 months, you're forgiving. You know, they're learning. Mm-hmm. They're figuring out the system. And I think we've done a great job tweaking and taking notes and getting feedback from the public. But it was scary, but it went good. The recipes transitioned up pretty similar to what I had at 10. And it's actually easier because it's a lot more controlled environment at the brewery than it is in my basement. You know what I mean? So it's been a lot of fun. And like we talked about earlier, if I had a question, I would just call a brewer that had a decade worth of experience versus my 3 months. And I wasn't afraid to ask for opinions, and everybody was more than eager to give me feedback. So,
and that's still the same way now. We talk to Jackie at Roosters all the time, or Dusty up at Talisman. So we get around and talk to all the
other
breweries.
And Jackie loves you guys, by the way. I interviewed the lady at Pink Boots not too long ago, and Jackie talked highly about you guys in Talisman. So you guys have a great community out there in Ogden. So it's really cool that you have those breweries right there. And then Ogden River just came out too.
Yep.
And I haven't met anyone over there yet. But Pat Winslow, they're probably doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys did a collaboration with Talisman, correct?
That's right. Over Valentine's.
German Kiss, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That was phenomenal. Oh, nice.
Did you get to taste it?
I did. I had like the last
we went through it, I think. 3 half-barrels in 9 days.
Like, it was fantastic.
It went fast.
It was great. And speaking of collaborations, I want to see more. When are you going to do more collaborations and with who? Do you have someone you want to do collaboration with? Is that in the works?
I would love... The collaborations everyone we've done has been so much fun.
Yeah.
We've collaborated twice in Ogden, and then...
With you did Talisman, and then...
We did Talisman, Ogden River Brewery.
You did Ogden River. What was the Ogden River one?
It was we call it the Hazy Ogden... No. What?
Hometown
IPA. We were shooting for a Hazy... but it settled. It was tough. It settled faster than we thought, so we just went with a hometown IPA.
Nice.
So, but it was, everybody loved it. It went through real fast. It helped them because, you know, they were opening, and it's tough when you're opening to have a full draft lineup. And so it was cool to be able to help them be able to have more flavors when they opened in October. Nice. And that went really well. And we did the German Kiss with Talisman, and then Zupales Brewery, Javier. It's a small. We did the Mandarina Kolsch back in May of 19, and that's what we did for
the
state.
Brewers Guild.
The Brewers Festival. Guild, yeah. And that Mandarina has been one of our biggest sellers. It's basically a Kolsch, but we use all Mandarina Bavaria hops, a little bit of dry hop, and then we put a little blood orange puree in the bright tank at the end. It's 5%. It has a little pink hue in the color. Once again, finishes crisp. I don't think we brought that one, but
I drink it across the street over here all the time. So
yeah, so that
craft.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it's on draft at multiple locations here in Salt Lake and throughout the state, and it's one of our popular brands. So
and it's also in our mix packs.
Yeah, we have a new mix pack coming out next week, and it'll have
the mix pack
Mandarina Kolsch, Golden Grant, Snowcat IPA, and then Brewer's Choice. So the Brewer's Choice, you're going to be surprised when you open the box because it's different
every
time.
I like that. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So
pucker time.
Yeah. We got a lot of good things on the horizon, and I'm
excited
really,
for you guys.
Yeah. I'm excited for the whole restaurant brewery scene for the rest of this year because it can't be worse than last year. So,
What collab would you want to do outside of Ogden? You want to do a collab outside of Ogden?
Yes, yeah.
Is there someone that you're just like wanting to do a collab with?
I think, Proper, they really helped answer a lot of questions when I started because Joey's wife now, Becca, worked there. And so those guys have been really cool. Templin Brewery, Jaron, they came up
and toured and talked about just beer when we open, and he's been good to call. Chad, it'd be cool to do something small.
Oh, yeah, homebrew stuff.
We're really trying to expand our footprint down to Salt Lake, because obviously Salt Lake has a lot more beer drinkers than Ogden. And so the more we can spread our rings and rub elbows with people down here and learn from each other, we'd be all for it. So,
hell yeah. I like that. Let's collab it all up.
Oh, yeah.
All of us.
For sure.
Hell yeah. So going off that one, future goals for 2021. What you guys, I want to know future goals. What do you guys have? I mean, you guys have growth in your mind. I can see it. I can feel it.
Of course, yeah. With our patio opening up this summer, that's going to be huge. Just having the size of patio that we have, and of course the baseball being there, but even just being able to bring your dog and hang out, it's just going to be awesome.
It's a chilling vibe.
And we're right off the front runner lines, so people can come up from Salt Lake or
whatnot. Even from Utah County?
We're 0.8. I think we're 0.8 miles from Front Runner.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
I'll come pick you up in Utah County.
And if you text me when you're there, I'll pick you up.
Done.
Yes.
Done. You hear this. It's on the podcast.
Yeah. Brett hit the nail on the head. When we opened 2 years ago, I wanted an awesome patio, but the construction wasn't done till September, and that was kind of the end of the season. And then I had really big plans for 2020 with the Raptors and, you know, having a really cool patio, but then COVID hit. And so everything shut down. And so this year we're dumping a lot of money and giving it a facelift, and our patio is going to be awesome. One of my favorite breweries, I lived in Phoenix for a while, Oso Brewery.
Okay.
They had an amazing patio, dog friendly, bike friendly, on the canal. And that's kind of in the back of my head, what I've kind of themed my brewery around. But I've never been able to get the patio part of it. I've got the interior part of it. And so being able to have the patio this summer where you can bring your kids, bring your dog, have great food, look at baseball. We're right on – we have an amazing bike lane that goes right to us. And to be able to sit and have a beer while your kids play on the playground, it's kind of unheard of in Utah. But out of state, that's like the norm. And I always get a smile on my face. My office is right by the main walkway that goes through our brewery. And about half the people walk out and say, man, it feels like we're not in Utah. Now, I love Utah. But – when I hear that, I'm like, we're making footsteps in the right direction. You know what I mean?
Twinge your heartstrings.
Yes. So I love when people say that. Now, I love Utah. I moved back here. Like, this is where I want to stay. But to hear people say that about, you know, a restaurant, you know, because I have kids and I love going to all these breweries, but half the time I have to find a babysitter to go. So if I can take my kids, let them play on the playground, I have a couple craft beers, have some amazing food, watch baseball. That was my goal. And we're almost there, and I think it's going to happen this summer. Awesome. So.
That's really cool.
I'm excited for that.
Ooh, Chad, it's a date. Let's go.
I went when you got your opening week. I went and checked it out, and I was really impressed with the food, beer, the whole setup. Way cool space you guys have there. So.
And love the pit. Love the pit.
The pit is cool. It was a construction nightmare, and me and Brett have to carry half-barrel kegs up there sometimes.
Right.
And
shit.
That's not fun, but that's where we get these guns, right?
Arm day. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. You want to try another beer here?
So Chad's got a beer in his hand. Chad, what beer do you have?
It is the Buffalo Soldier Black Rye IPA.
So, gentlemen, tell us, delicious. Brett, tell us about this one.
So this was actually going to be one of our first beers that we put into competition when we were sending them out to Texas. Love this beer as well. It's a rye IPA, so it's nice and dark color, good nose of chocolate, and you still get a good hit of hops at the very end. So even if you're new to drinking hoppy beers, it's a great, great beer to be drinking. Yeah, it's a little dark for some beer drinkers, but another good one.
So what would you say to someone who doesn't like rye? I don't like rye. Do I like this beer?
I think you would, because we dry hop with around 25 pounds. We do 12.5 of Citra and 12.5 of Amarillo, so you get the aroma on it. And like I've got, I'll pick on my mother-in-law. She doesn't really like IPAs, but she'll drink two of them because it's super smooth. You get the bite of the hops. I think it's around 90 IBUs. But the rye, you get like a different bite after it. So you get like a double. When I started brewing this at home, this was like the one I wanted the most to do. I don't know if you guys ever had Wookiee Jack from Firestone Walker.
Oh, that's an excellent beer.
Yeah, so I love Wookiee Jack. And I wanted to brew Wookiee Jack. And no matter how hard I tried, this is as close as I got. But I really like how it turned out. It is a little less in alcohol, so it has a little more mouthfeel and a less... That one, I think, finishes a little drier. And they discontinued that, so I can't find it anymore. I know they have it on draft in California. But this one, right before I opened, I did turn it in, and it won silver in the homebrew competition for the Western United States. And so this one I really like because you get the IPA bitterness, you get the dry hop, you get the mouthfeel, and this I use one of my favorite malts in is chocolate rye. So you get the rye bite, but not quite the bite of straight rye because it's the chocolate kind of takes a little bit of that bite away, but you get the hops and you get the rye and then, yeah. So
this is great. It's super drinkable. When you pour it, you're like, oh man.
Oh, it's going to be a dark, heavy beer. Rough.
So,
but it is.
Yeah, it's not like most. I mean, that's some brewers brew really heavy, thick beers and drink one of them. They're amazing. And my goal on pretty much all of them is to be able to have more than one. I brew them on a drier side. Some people brew them. There's no right or wrong, but
no.
That's kind of how I do it.
If you look at this, this beer looks intimidating.
It does. And then, yeah, the name's intimidating. Yeah.
I was slightly intimidated by
so,
it.
So, yeah. Like a bidet. A bidet is not intimidating.
No.
Just embrace it, brother.
Just do it.
I'm telling you. Just like, I'm not a rye drinker. I don't like rye. I'll straight up. And I really enjoy this one.
Oh, I love that you think the finish is done, and then you suddenly get this like nice little like kind of roastiness like at the end.
Second wind,
it's like
almost?
The rye of a whiskey.
Yeah.
After you swallow, give it 20 seconds, and you'll get it on the back or the back of your tongue.
And that's a chocolate rye?
Yeah. Yep.
That's delicious.
Yep. So it's one of my favorite malts to use because it just incorporates a lot of different flavors. So.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on
in
this beer.
You got my mind spinning.
I like this.
I got recipe ideas. I'm spinning right now.
Okay. But yeah, this is mine.
This is really
like,
cool.
If I had to take some beers to go to an island and die, it would be the pale ale and this buffalo. So yeah,
and your lawnmowing beer.
And my lawnmowing beer, yes. So that would keep me hydrated. So.
But if he's on an island, he doesn't have to mow the lawn.
Okay, you're sand mowing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So. No, I like this one. This one, again, is an example of how you guys need to enter a competition, right? The chat. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, you guys need to put these beers into a competition. I know you're going to, but like, you guys are brewing good shit out there.
Oh, good.
Like, you really are.
Thank you.
I'm impressed. You have fans. Long-time, lifelong fans. I'll drive to you guys. Will.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate Brett. He does a lot of work and keeps me on my toes.
So, Brett, speaking of that, as a brewer, what is a style that you want to brew that you haven't mastered brewing yet?
All of them. I'm still learning.
Yeah. But what's one you just want to like?
I
want to
learn more about one of the beers that Carson really doesn't like brewing, and it's a Hefeweizen. That's one of my favorite style
of
beers.
We're talking true German Hef?
Yeah. I would love to even go to the monks and watch them brew.
Oh,
and
damn.
Yeah, they're using a Trappist yeast and all that kind of stuff.
I know a pilot that could take you. We could.
I know.
Yeah.
Just got to get the plane to go further
so
than
before. What's with it with the Hefeweizen that you want to, I guess, further delve into that realm?
Well, I think that's just because that was my first real, like, beer that I drank as a craft beer drinker. Loved Hefeweizens.
It's the gateway craft beer.
Yes. That and Alaskan Amber. That got me.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like my first beer back in, 2002 or 3 when I started hitting the States.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
gateway craft beers.
Yes, they're easy drinkers, and there's a lot of flavor profiles that I really like. Most people don't like the banana flavors, and I really dig it. So
that's right.
I would say like Hefeweizens would be my thing that I would really want to learn more about and brew more.
I like that. So let's. You guys do have one, right? It's a Hefeweizen ale. It's the Son of a Peach, correct?
Yeah, we have the Son of a Peach. We did that fall of 2019. And we basically brewed an American-style Hefeweizen. Our first Hef we put out was a Bavarian-style Hefeweizen, so it finishes dry, like almost, not champagne dry, but definitely really light in color. It's not hazy like the American-style Hef, so it didn't have the sweetness and it didn't have the haze. And I brewed it because Ogden loves Hefeweizens. And they come in and they're like, wow, this isn't what I ordered. But then they would take a sip, like, wow, this is it's super crushable. And we did the dry Bavarian for a summer, and then I'm like, well, let me try to do an American-style Hef, which is the little hazier, sweeter, kind of in the Blue Moon direction. And I'm doing this, and somebody's like, well, it's peach season, because Brigham City does huge peaches.
Oh,
and so we're like, let's just add a dash of peach puree to this. And we did, and it turned out phenomenal. It probably is our biggest seller now, distribution-wise. Both distributors are taking it. I think it's all the way to St. George. A bunch of bars have it on tap, and it's been really popular. With the new label, it really pops. I think that's on the website,
great,
too.
Great label.
Yeah. It's a simple American-style Hefeweizen with fresh peach puree.
Fresh peach puree.
Yes.
I like that. I'm glad you're using fresh. Are you guys going to mess with different flavors in that?
Probably. we with the pucker time, we mess with different fruits. Last year we did huckleberry, and it was so popular. Oh. The was it 60 days we were done with a 15 barrel batch in house only. It went so fast. So this and every time
what?
People
we super fast. Went, it was good, and that was one sour that I would really drink. I probably bought at least a case of that because that's a good one.
We're doing that one again probably mid-summer for a release the same time we did last year, and it's basically the pucker time with fruit added.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it turned out really good. And then other than I think we'll keep the Son of a Peach Hefeweizen how it is.
I think
it,
you should.
People really like it and dig it, and we've got
I
it
I think
down,
for so. Me, when you get it fresh and it's now...
Yeah.
What happens is it's a good what we just talked about gateway.
Those are all yours. So.
yeah. A gateway craft beer. I think the Son of a Peach is a good local version of a gateway crafted beer.
Oh yeah.
I really
do.
Yeah. I think if someone comes into your brewery and like I don't like craft beer,
yes.
I would give them a Son of a Peach. Mm-hmm. I really would because it would play off the flavors of it's not overpowering. It's not alcohol hot.
Yeah.
But you'd still be like, oh, this is kind of this is not bad. Exactly. That's what craft beer can do, and you guys did a good example with that.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, we talked about this recently. People that say they don't like beer, like, you just haven't had the right beer. There's a beer for everybody, especially craft beer. Man. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot out there to try, so
it's perfect. I think you probably tell your servers and bartenders the same way to kind of spin that when people come in, I don't do beer. You know, we have amazing servers in our place, and they'll say, I really think you'll like this, and let's try this 5-ounce sample. And we've never had somebody not find one they like, you know?
Right.
And having a good educated staff to kind of read the person and kind of point them in the right direction, I think has really helped push a lot of these beers that people wouldn't initially go for. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's important, having the knowledge, and that's the fun thing about craft beer and having a brew pub or a tap room is, people come in and like, you're small local place, like the people that are passionate about what they do.
Yes.
And people are excited to talk about the beer. So that's, and I must say, like, the one thing about COVID that was, it sucked because I had to do everything. It was down to me and my kitchen manager doing to-goes. But the one thing that was nice is I was at the bar talking to people.
You get to talk to them.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things. Like, it's Friday, it's time to wrap up. And sometimes I like to just go walk around up front and just listen, like, just eavesdrop on people.
Oh, yeah.
And just to see what they're saying and start seeing get full again is really nice.
So, listen to the feedback.
All the hard work you've done, and now people are walking in the door. It's like, that's the most rewarding. I really like it. So.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's fun to see you guys as owners and brewers see your craft being drank by individuals and then an appreciation. So, Carson, I guess I want to ask you and Chad chime in on this one. But when you guys sit kind of in the back scene or eavesdrop a little bit and you see people enjoying your crafted beverages, how's that make you feel, gentlemen? Like, describe that feeling, if you would.
And it's kind of weird sometimes. It's like, I made that beer, like being a home brewer for so long and just like giving it out to your friends and now having somebody like pay for your beer. Like it's a weird experience sometimes. I mean, it's very rewarding, but it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm actually like people are paying for I made this.
Yeah. That he hit the nail on the head. And the other thing by listening to people, sometimes they pick out something or say something that me or Brett or my other staff have never even said. And I'd be like, oh wow, they got that, or they didn't like this. And then just the mental notes for next time, could we do it a little different? Or, because it's, for me, I can have 500 amazing reviews and I get two bad. I remember the bad.
Because
I was like, how do I focus? How do I fix those two things?
Yeah.
And so, that's part of this business thing. Every brewer is a perfectionist and attention to detail. And you pick out, you remember those bad things.
Right.
Even though 99% of it's good, you always like, oh man, that guy might be
that's
right.
That's why I like the brewing scene is, for me, it's I haven't met a true great brewer who will sit there and say, my beer is perfect, it's ready to go. There's always something. I mean, Chad, you've done your Pilsner how many times now? And there's still something that you can fix.
There's
something you can alter. There's something you can kind of change. And that's why I like, as being a brewer, is you can always just tweak it a little bit. Like, I could just fix it here on the nose here, mouthfeel here. And that's why I like that, because as a community, as a growing as brewers, it's like, I just want to keep becoming better. And that's why Carson, Brett, Chad, you guys are artists in my eyes. And that's why you guys are here, so I can help showcase you guys as artists, because what's happening is you guys need to be heard.
Thank you.
Not just in your little, Ogden, Utah, Sugar House area. You guys need to be heard. And if I can at least introduce you to 2-3 more people, 4 more people, 10 more people that show you guys, you see the art and how you guys are, I feel like I did my job you guys deserve the credit you guys are for being your artistic ability you guys have.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you guys. Yeah. You guys are the artists, I say. So thank you guys for coming. I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
I say we drink one more beer.
Let's do it.
One more beer.
You guys I just popped open a beer.
Oh, the beer lager.
Literally beer, right?
Beer. Oh, yeah. I'm down.
So I want to chat a little bit about Ogden, man. I mean, it's... I've only been up there a handful of times, but growing up here in Salt Lake, it's blown up. It's like have high rises and sugar house now, and like people are like, this is downtown sugar house. I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, and you go up to Ogden, it hasn't changed much, and it's pretty cool to see all the old buildings, the old Main Street.
Yes,
it's just beautiful out there, and so that's cool to see. But also, like, there was. You guys are, there's 4 breweries up there now, right?
Yeah, there's 4. Well, there's 5 if you, Zupla's is there.
Oh, Zupla's,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's 5 of you guys up there. And I think,
there's one opening in Logan, too.
Oh, so that's
just
cool.
North of us, yeah.
Oh, geez, who's
that's
that?
That's good.
What's the name of Jason's place?
Prodigy Brewing.
Yeah. He's hoping midsummer is what he said. So
and that's be, great. I think that
right
little town
off of Logan, the Main
brewery,
Street in Logan.
College town. And,
yeah.
Oh, geez, yeah, great place.
But I mean, Ogden was a big brewing center. Pre-prohibition with Becker's, right?
Yep.
And they were growing their own malt and everything, and you've got the rail system, you've got the water, like everything. So it was a pretty big brewery, right? It was one of the biggest.
It was biggest in the state for sure. Uh-huh. And then in the 1900s, Ogden was like had the most wealth anywhere in the country because that's where everybody met with Golden Spike, so it was. Ton of money here in the early 1900s, and that Becker Brewery is one of the biggest. So
and they survived Prohibition too, right?
I think so. I'd have to double check. I don't have it to memory, but they had a long stint, and they did a lot of beer, and they, like you said, did their own malts, and they were located, I think, on Lincoln Avenue, probably a mile northwest of us is where they were. So
oh wow,
yeah, yep.
Pretty close.
Yeah,
and then there hasn't been a brewery there since. The 90s, right? With Roosters?
Yeah, Roosters opened.
The first one,
they just had their 20. They were going to have their 25-year anniversary party last summer and closed down 25th Street, but COVID hit. So I think this year they'll celebrate their 26th year. Pete and Kim, they started that, and they've been really helpful for us. And they've got 3 locations, Layton, downtown Ogden, and then the bigger production just west of us, B Street. They got a beautiful operation, and very helpful and good stuff. So
cool.
Yep. Yeah, and then Talisman is same thing. Dusty opened 2 years before us, and they're just north of downtown. And great beers. He's very attention to detail. Everything's good.
Oh yeah.
We talk with them probably weekly, and just love them. And then Orby's brand new, and we helped them get brewing, and they got a beautiful facility. And it's really coming alive in Ogden to go get beer. I love it, and I really hope. I don't think we're gonna have like a lot of the big new buildings like we do in Salt Lake. They can kind of control how Ogden grows in this certain central business district to keep it old like that. So you might see some more on the outskirts of the city limits, but downtown, I don't think you'll see a ton just because everything's taken, you know. But it keeps it that historic feel. And then I know their goal in the future. Is to have 25th Street like walkable only. And, and my goal, and I know I talked to the owner of the Raptors, is to have like from the baseball diamond to us all the way to 25th Street, you know, walkable, have golf carts running, you know, and just make it a cool downtown. Cool. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been to Scottsdale during spring training where everybody's on bikes and everybody's walking and there's all these things.
Zero
and,
cars.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever get to a Scottsdale, but it'll be really cool to have, you know, the bikes, the downtown camaraderie. They do an amazing farmer market. Was it 3 months or 2 months out of the year, downtown Ogden?
3 months.
Three months. And they basically closed down everything. And, that's why I moved back. I mean, when we were done with our schooling in 14, we could have moved anywhere in the country. And we wanted to come back because we loved Ogden. And, we want to tell everybody out of state that it sucks because it's getting really full.
Utah sucks, everyone. Yeah, Ogden sucks. Don't come here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible. Just, like, growing up down here, like going north of the Capitol, I'm like, where am I? Like, but I just, watching Ogden over the years, it's still kind of kept its feel. But now it's like, now we've got some breweries out there.
Yep.
And it's just awesome. It was so fun. We went out to Ogden River, went to their opening. And
yeah.
And it was cool. It's like, wow, we're in, like, look at Ogden. It's a cool town. Like, yeah. I want to come up, spend some more time. I had my kid, so I can really spend too much time up there. But I think we definitely need to take the front runner up. And
oh, it's a date.
I still haven't been to Talisman. So
yeah, you got
to
go. Cool. You got to go see them.
They're all right there. And so you guys are within walking distance, right? Talisman and Roosters?
You could walk to Roosters on 25th, ORB, and us. But you'd want to get an Uber to Talisman or B Street. So. Yeah,
like Brett, we got it, right?
Yeah,
we'll Uber there.
Of course.
How cool is that, though, to see Ogden like become like a little
it's, brewery town? It still town, has that, like, Ogden feel, though.
It does.
You walk in there, and it says Ogden still.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah.
And we've been able to expand during COVID, you know?
That's
cool. And that, I mean, that's one thing that, you know, Weber County never got quite as restrictive as Salt Lake, and so we never had quite the same shutdown. And so we've had a little bit of an advantage, I think, you know, because we had a lot of people come up from Salt Lake to go have a beer because everything here was closed.
Right. Oh,
so
shit.
We were able to survive a little easier, and hopefully down the road everything, you know, starts getting better for everybody.
Are you guys looking to expand further? Is it going to be a UTOG 2.0 kind of building? Is it going to be a...
I would love to. I want to get this pandemic out of the way and, like, have 1 year of normalcy, if that's possible.
If you
had
it your way, would you have multiple UTOGs, if you will?
Yes, I think a couple, one or two, would be awesome. I definitely want to have 1 year of, like, consistency. And we've had when we opened the March of 2019, we had the road in front of us shut down for 3 months.
Oh, my God.
And then we had, like, our head chef that we were going to use quit. And then it was the end of the summer, and the 4% thing happened. So basically all beer sales outside of your facility stopped because no one wanted to buy 4% beer. So we had 3 months of no exterior beer sales. Then we had 2 months of awesomeness, and then COVID hit. Then we had 9 months of basically COVID, and now we're coming out of that. So our first 2 years have been so rough. And I would love to have 1 year under my belt that consistency.
Be able to relax.
Yes.
A normal year.
Just take a breath.
If I look back on my story, I do not have a 60-day period that's the same.
Like, oh, wow.
Because the environment has just been totally different. And I would love to be able to look back at last year and have it be similar to this year. I've never had that. And, you know, you make decisions as an owner on what happened last year, you know, or what's going to happen. And so I'm really looking forward to just coming out of this. And that shows everybody in the whole country and the world. So,
Absolutely. Well, my recommendation for you gentlemen is, if I can chime in, I guess, 2 cents, is...
it's your podcast.
It's keep trucking. Okay. Honestly, you guys keep producing, keep making awesome beverages. One of my last questions for you guys is, as the Tastemasters, what can I do, and as the podcast can do, to help you guys as UTOG Brewing Company?
Well, on my side, I think I actually listened to your podcast quite a bit. So the last few, you've featured a few of our beers, and I appreciate the putting us out there on the OG Juice.
Yeah.
That's our High Point IPA that's in most DAP.
Secretly like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah,
we just won that little battle they did on Utah Beer Blog.
I think the Utah Beer News. Blog.
They did a March Madness kind of thing for beers where they battle each other.
The OG Juice, right?
Yeah,
yep. Yeah.
So it's out there. It's good.
Yeah. So for my point of view is that you've been able to give us props on having a good beers that we're getting out of our brewery and appreciating that. But yeah, just overall, just talking about Utah beers, like, it's awesome to see what's out there and even the distilleries and stuff around. Because there's two great ones up in Ogden, so
yeah.
I mean, I'm willing to listen to any distillers too. I mean,
right.
We had a guy from Charles Johnson on a couple weeks ago. He talked about the Utah Spirit Trail. So basically, he just goes and showcases all the distillers. Not in his, like, he just wants to be the voice. Like, hey guys, there's great distillers in Utah as well, not just brewers, distillers as well. So it's really cool. But Carson, is there anything I could do for you guys to help you?
Along with what Brett said, I think me and Chad both agree what you're doing, getting people, when they're comfortable, out of their house and into the local tasting rooms and bars and restaurants. That's it. Just get them out, let them explore the flavors of food and beer that we just talked about for the last hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun though, because we could keep going for like two more hours and we still have great content, right? Good conversations. But gentlemen, I can't stress this enough. Mm-hmm. Keep doing what you're doing. These beers you guys are producing, the art you guys have had, just keep doing it.
Thank you. I mean, Chad and I will keep screaming Utah top of our lungs for sure. You guys need anything, though, hit us up. Feel free to reach out. I would love to talk brewing as well. I'd love to talk beer.
Yeah.
Maybe a collab.
I would love a collaboration. Come guys, Utah Valley meets you, Ogden.
Let's do it.
Utah.
We can make up another word.
Oh, instead of that. So,
Yes.
Strap Og.
TBD on that one, yeah.
Strap Og. I don't know if that would go off well, but yeah. We can make it happen. But yeah, I would love that. Derek, I can convince Derek to do a. I have tank space. We can make it happen.
There you go.
But guys, keep in touch. Chad, is there anything else you got for us today?
Nah, man. Thanks for bringing delicious beers.
You're welcome.
So I'm like to have you guys try my burger and pillow.
Yeah, I'm heading upstairs as soon as this
we're
is over.
We're having lunch
so.
After this. Corey, you're in. We're having lunch.
Yeah.
But guys, thanks again for driving all the way down here on this rainy day and having your beers in front of us and teaching us and educating us. Because when I say when knowledge increases, behavior changes, and I truly believe that. Perfect. We've learned that here. I feel like multiple worlds have met today and we're still growing. We're still learning.
Yeah.
And we're still succumbed to the fact that we don't know everything. We're still hungry for knowledge.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, I haven't even scratched the surface.
Exactly. So let me know when the next Utah beer comes out because I will be shouting it off, top of the food chain. Promise you that.
Cool.
And Chad, thanks again for being the co-host today.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for hosting us.
Yeah, absolutely, Chad. You're
sure.
The greatest. I love your facility, by the way. But until the next beverage, guys.
Cool. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Thanks, gentlemen.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter @TheTastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow @Fuse_Audio.